Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, Episode 7, The Totally Excellent Adventures of Mac and the D.
All that right after this ad we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff Randall, what is happening, buddy? How are you?
Man, it has been so long since we've talked. I'm so sorry that I've had to keep pushing back.
Well, it wasn't just you. Yesterday, my landlord sent people to power wash our house without really telling me they were coming to power wash the house. And so my studio sounded like I was in the middle inside of a washing machine. Like literally I was inside the house. It was just like whoosh, 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 all day long. And it took all day to do the whole house. And so
that could have been fun.
Yeah.
Could have been a themed episode.
Yeah. We pretend like we're in some sort of time machine or something.
The whole time she's been like, whoa,
Joe Jeff, what did you think about the Zola?
It was a lot of fun. Nah, I don't think that would have been good.
Oh no, that's real dumb.
Yeah, after hearing it just there, I was like, nah.
And then on top of that, I am sick as a dog. You guys probably can hear my voice does not sound normal. I don't think it's the coronavirus, if anybody's worried. I think it's just a cold because the symptoms don't line up. But I am pretty freaked out because the coronavirus is... Like, I'm not freaked out because I have something that I think is the coronavirus. I'm freaked out because I've been being really careful about washing my hands, not touching my face when I'm out and about, you know, all those things. And
you made a song about it.
I did. And I feel like I still got a cold. So like I am likely just as easily, if not easier, could get the coronavirus. And I'm like, damn it. I really don't want the coronavirus. I know nobody wants it, but like as a singer, like the thing they're saying about it is like the long-term effects can be like really bad for your lung capacity. And I'm like,
oh. Yeah, like long-term lung damage is a common symptom or a common outcome.
That would be really hard for me. So last night when I started getting symptoms of a cold, I was like, oh, please don't be the coronavirus. Please don't be there. And today I don't think it is based on my symptoms, but like, it's still scary.
It's just allergies.
Oh, it's worse than allergies, but I think it's just a cold. Like I have a really sore throat, but not really any other symptoms, at least not many other symptoms. Like I don't have a fever. I don't really have a cough. I have an itchy throat, but that's about it. But it's a really itchy throat, which makes it hard to podcast unless I just want to sound like Batman the whole time.
Oh, you can sound like Batman the whole time.
See, that's an affected voice. This is just me allowing my voice to do what it wants to do right now.
What's the difference between you and me? I'm not affecting my voice to do this.
That's the difference between you and me. You like to play with your voice down here. I was born there.
I was born in the low register.
Well, let's get right into things. Talk about this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you guys are listening to this in the distant future, we are talking about the episode where the crew has landed in 1982. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
82, and they have a full-on 80s like adventure horror movie basically, and I freaking loved it, man. Adventure 80s horror is like what I grew up on. This is around the time I was born, and this is like what for some reason I was watching when I was like 4 and 5 years old. Was a bunch of like the kind of effects where the sort of body horror effects of like the robots stabbing people and chainsawing. That is 4 year old Matt's jam.
I don't know why. Like you should not have been watching that.
No, I had a bad father. I had a very bad father.
You should have been watching like Voltron and stuff.
No, I was watching stuff like this, and this felt so much like an, you know, 80s, early 80s horror movie. It felt like RoboCop in places. It felt
it did.
Whatever. Any pick your like you know,
pick your 80s horror.
Yeah, cheesy 80s horror, and it's just so much like that. And then the 80s heroes too, where you've got like the rock band, but you also have like the guy who's grieving his loss, and like, I don't know, man. It just felt like everything 80s to me, and I really loved it.
Yep. The only thing that was missing was Matt going, "I'm getting too old for this shit."
Yeah, he reminded me of like a, I don't know, like a Charles Bronson type, like him just sitting in the house, like being all pissed off, building his models and destroying things. Also, we haven't seen Mac in a regularly sized house lately. Like, he's always on the ship. Mac is so tall. Him just like when sitting around.
Stood up.
Yeah, when he stood up out of that like old 80s chair. God. And like walked across the room, I was like, oh yeah, Mac is huge. He's just a huge human being.
I keep forgetting that he's a giant among men.
Yeah.
When he stood up out of that recliner, I was like, oh, he just keeps going, doesn't he? Is he going to go through the ceiling? And then he just like bounds over to wherever he's got the, or no, he went to the front door at that point. That's right. Because he got the note. From the D,
who now has his own band, the Deke Squad. Oh man. Okay, this is my main takeaway from this episode. This episode is what you get when you have spent this many years building a show and characters and a universe, and you're just having a good time with this one. This episode didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like some of the plot was moved forward. Sybil got put back in some semblance of a body and is with Nathaniel, but they could have done that from the beginning. Like Nathaniel could have been the one who picked her up in the first place. This is an episode that it barely moves the plot forward. It is just an episode about let's do something fun with a show that we've created, and they just have a good time, and I was completely here for it.
It's like they looked around in the writer's room. They're like, you guys want to do some 80s fun? And they're like, yeah.
It feels almost like they've been planning this. Like the fact that they've got like the guy from the future who has the MO of stealing intellectual property from the future and like creating a band to play these local gigs. And then you've got the humongous brooding character whose main weapon is a shotgun axe. Like this just felt like they had been planning this all along. And I don't think they have. I think this was just a stroke of genius. And I love it, man.
I love the reveal of the new shotgun axe. He's like, I'm not going to let my director go out there unequipped.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was so good.
So good.
How do you have a show where you can legitimately have a silly man-child who's stealing music from the future deliver a chrome-plated shotgun axe to the director of the organization, and it doesn't feel out of place? Like, it felt like that was true to those characters. And I don't know how they pulled that off. This didn't feel like a comedy episode to them. Like, they didn't know it was a comedy episode. Like, they were still living in their reality. And it I loved it, man.
Yeah, I mean, this episode goes to show that, like, when you're in need, Deke is a really good friend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Deke is there for you.
Yeah, this really did endear me to Deke a good bit. Him, because he wasn't just there for, Deke is just always so sweet. Like, you think about him, yeah. And he's just a sweet man. He's just a sweet man. They did a little bit of a reversal in the episode too, when the episode begins with the kind of like classic 80s bully, bullying the computer repair guy. And it was like, oh, that sucks. I wonder who this guy is. He's probably a protagonist. Nope. He's the weird, like, weird science character who's going to go try to build a woman in his basement and get killed for it. Like,
yep. I've been waiting years for you.
Yeah. That felt like a direct reference to Weird Science. It's just so good, man. Just so many good things.
That name was said out loud when the episode was playing in my home. The lady looks in and she goes, Weird Science? They're doing Weird Science?
They are. They're weirdly doing like Weird Science mixed with Bill and Ted, mixed with like, I don't know, Chud? Is it mixed with Chud?
It felt like it was... it felt like it was mixed with like almost like Romero without the zombies.
Right.
Just, you know, the amount of gore and the blood spray on all of the walls and all the people. Like, it was, I mean, it was every 80s horror movie.
Yeah.
Every 80s gore movie.
Yeah, it also has like a, you know, obviously they reference it directly. They call one of the robots Short Circuit. They also reference Doctor Who with the exterminate line.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. It's just them having a great time with it. And the 80s score persists through the entire episode. A lot of these episodes have started with something like, hey, let's do a intro that's kind of 60s or 50s. And they did do the one black and white episode that was really consistent all the way through. This one was another one where they just kept that 80s like feel of both the film, like the way they edited it, the way they shot it, but also the music. It is just super fun.
Yep. Yep. And we like the music. If we talk about the music, we have to talk a lot about the Deke Squad.
For sure.
They have a drummer named Cricket. And I love that Cricket just was not a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. like at all.
No.
They just needed a drummer.
They just needed a drummer.
And like his girlfriend is like, oh yeah, that song that you played, it was so amazing. He's like, oh yeah, here I go again. Yeah, it's a killer tune.
Yeah. It's just so classic, man. It's just classic. And then you know, like that, they just tried so hard to tell this kind of story, and I feel like they hit all the beats. I was a little worried it wouldn't have the time, but a lot of times those movies are really slowly paced anyway, so the way they like fit it all into 42 minutes or whatever was really wonderful. I loved the shot of Mac with his 80s headband and his shotgun axe just like standing ready to kill all of the alien robots, I guess. Just so good, man.
I mean, it was like at that point it turned into almost like Predator or Rambo.
Right. Yeah. And let me say, when I mentioned all the character things that they have that are wonderfully combined here, where they have like the guy from the future who likes to steal intellectual property and the da-da-da, that whole thing. The other thing they have here is Mac with a shotgun axe who really hates killer robots. Like he has like an actual aversion to killer robots left over from previous seasons and predating his appearance on S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, oh man, it just felt like this is the movie that Mac watched as a kid that made him hate killer robots or like fear robots.
Yeah. And it was in this base, actually. It was in the lighthouse where Ada was, wasn't it?
No, I think that was in a... Oh, you may be right.
No, yeah, it was. It was. That's because he said, not again. And I was like, oh, yeah, because she was like right there.
Yeah.
He cut her head off with the shotgun axe right there.
I think you're right. Yeah, it was because I remember them getting away, trying to run from Ada by getting and leaving through that that water exit or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then May blew up her, or I'm sorry, El May D blew herself up.
Oh, that's right.
Along with Coulson Bot.
El May D and Coulson Bot. And this season we have Coulson Bot and like, you know, May without feelings, which is, you know, Vulcan May D? Vol May D? No.
Like, no.
Nothing there.
She's not LMD.
No, I was just trying to...
Doesn't make sense.
Spock? Spay?
Nope.
Have your agent spay or neuter?
Have your agent... Stop.
Okay. So the band thing was awesome. I really love when Mac shows up at the party and Deke comes in for a hug and he says, complete the journey. Complete the journey.
Yep. Complete the journey.
I love another line I just completely loved was Max of seeing Coulson's like, Coulson, you're here. And he says, Yep, that's it. It's me, Coulson, and not a lot of ones and zeros trapped in a digital hell. At least I like to think so. But admittedly, there's been a lot of soul searching here.
Oh, man. It was super convenient that he was backed up on a hard drive, though.
Right. Yeah, that whole thing was super convenient. I had a friend write me and was like, how is Coulson seeing them? And I was like, there's got to be a camera or something. Or he has access to all the cameras. And they were like, no. He's just living on a VCR. I was like, no, it's not, he's in a hard drive. Granted,
there was some sort of,
doesn't make a lot of sense.
There was some sort of device for detection, maybe, that was at the bottom of it.
I saw that, yeah.
It looked like it might have been like a almost like a Soli chip, like what the Pixel has, the Google Pixel 4, to kind of like see where people are, or almost like map them in 3D space. Mm. But, you know, it's Deke. Deke has access to a lot of technology.
Yeah, he's got future tech.
He's a really smart tech guy, so he could probably figure something out for that.
Yeah, I say he could. I was unbothered by it.
Yeah, I wasn't bothered by it because I was having too much fun watching Mac push Coulson around, like on the TV cart, and having Coulson look back like over his shoulder or like kind of up and to the right to try to talk to Mac.
Yeah,
was so good. Like he's trying to look at Mac in the face, and he's just on he's on the TV screen. He can't.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so funny.
So good.
And then, oh my God, when Coulson was like, I have a plan, but I want to be part of the planning circle. I'm feeling really left out over here.
Oh, yeah. That was so good.
Deke's like, oh, let me just wheel you over here. All right. Okay. Now what?
I know we talked about it after we watched the trailer, but that moment where he says, somebody's going to pay. She's like, you mean the robots? He's like, yeah, the robots. That's what I mean. It's just really, really good comic timing to everything they did this episode.
Yep. I'm really glad that they gave him the big beard, you know, to show that he's not taking care of himself other than shaving his own head.
Right.
Still. But he's letting his beard grow. But then, as part of the epic let's get ready montage, he takes a pair of scissors to that beard.
Uh-huh.
To show that he's done being a slob or something.
Right. It's that classic, you know, it's the classic, like, you're going to start taking care of yourself in some way, which I guess a beard represents, Jeff.
I don't know what you're talking about. My beard is healthy and beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's dive into the feedback. Let's see what everybody else is saying about this episode.
It's rude as hell.
What was?
Because you were just like, yeah, sure. Let's go to feedback. And not in any way address how you feel about your beard.
I picked on you about it.
I know.
There was not like anything passive aggressive about that. That was purely aggressive. I was actively making fun of your beard. No, I'm just teasing. Your beard looks nice, Jeff. Your beard looks nice.
Do it like they did in Flight of the Conchords. Your beard is good.
I don't remember that. I've never seen the whole thing. I've only seen like the first few episodes of Flight of the Conchords.
Oh man, that show is so good. Let's do that on Pandavision.
I would be down for that. I don't. So like, my whole thing about doing comedy is weird. Even now, talking about this episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, talking about comedy is just hard because you either analyze it or you're just saying how funny it was, and neither of those things are super interesting. Which is why I like to talk about things that aren't necessarily comedy.
Super serious.
Well, you know, I love a little comedy in my stuff, but like doing podcasting is way to me, it's way more interesting if it's about something that you're like actually invested in, instead of because like, I feel like comedy
a good story.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, let's get into some feedback.
Okay. We got Kamal Moise in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last season, episode 7, I think. Oh, no, sorry, this is two lines where it shouldn't be. Okay, let's redo that. Kamal Moise says, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last season, episode 7, I think you guys continue to be awesome.
Well, thank you.
I actually skipped certain episodes and or listen an episode behind because your speculation is close enough or just better idea to accidentally spoil plots. But seriously, you guys are awesome.
Well, I feel bad that we spoil things by mistake, but, you know,
I guess
we don't feel too bad because we continue to do it, but we never know we're spoiling things. We never know anything. We're always just speculating, and sometimes we hit just dead on them nail, and sometimes we don't at all. So you're not really spoiled. Because you don't know.
We very frequently don't.
Yeah, very frequently it's wrong. So when we're right, it's just fun. And you guys speculate too. It's fun.
When we're right, it comes around to being like, hey, yeah, we did a good thing. And we completely forget about all of the times we were wrong about the exact same thing.
Yeah. And that's why it's so much fun to cover shows that are currently on. And it's been a hard year with nothing coming out. Because like my favorite thing to do is speculate about what comes next. But when you only have what came out a year ago, it starts to be like, well, we're still speculating about what will come after the thing we watched a year ago.
That's true. That's true. You know, you end up saying the same theories over and over again. You kind of get stuck.
Indeed. Indeed. Anyway,
Emily Sissel says, could you please make some Deke Squad merch for us to buy? Yeah. I'm obsessed now. Him and Fitz are my favorite characters by far.
That's pretty great. We've definitely drifted maybe too close to copyright in the past with some of our some of our merch, but we probably couldn't. Although I looked it up, and there are definitely people out there that made Deke Squad shirts. And I feel like maybe we should get in on that. Like we should get somebody to design one and just throw it up on Teespring. Like we can't afford to order a box of them because I don't think we're gonna get a bunch of orders for Deke Squad shirts. But like. we should totally try to do that more often because, yeah, nobody's watching out for the copyright for Deke Squad, really.
Yeah, nobody's going to call Disney and be like, hey, do you know what these guys did?
Yeah, there was some pretty great ones. They took
your Deke Squad.
After she said that, I went and looked at the internet, like, I wonder if that exists. And it does. It does exist, Emily. So we probably won't make it to do it this time, but you should definitely. Well, it's a good idea. We need to get someone just like making merch for specific episodes. You know, back in the day, Omer El Malia.
Back in the day.
Yeah, Omer, the artist who listens to the show, used to make.
The only artist.
One of the artists who listens to the show, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, he also has done a bunch of our merch too, over the years. Yeah. And so, yeah, he used to make specific designs for each episode of like, what was it? Jessica Jones, I remember he used to do, and some Daredevil.
Yeah,
episodes.
He did a lot of the Netflix, Netflix shows. He was inspired by those individual episodes and made a lot of t-shirt designs. And like at the time when we got those, I was like, oh, cool. You know, I'm glad you're inspired. Keep on doing stuff.
Nothing we could do with that, but these days we could actually like probably always just have like shirts about the newest episode up.
Yeah. Yeah, more it's more options for the people who win trivia, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of trivia, blah, 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 selfless, shameless plug.
Yeah. Not
selfless, shameless plug.
Selfless plug, everybody. Come to trivia.
This one's for you.
And do something kind for someone.
Yep, us specifically.
Us specifically. Yes, a plug for you to be selfless and come to trivia.
Yep, a selflessness plug.
Yeah, guys, we are doing trivia every Wednesday night, 7:30 over on twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV. And man, the bot was really cool last week. Like 14 people were within 4 points of each other or something like that by the end.
Yeah.
That was super cool.
Yeah, it was
cool.
Real close.
It was so close.
And then Stevie Poo came like out of left field with the only answer to a question, and it catapulted him into first place.
Yeah, we put a thing in the code where if only one person gets a question right, they get basically double points. And so Stevie Poo was lower, you know, not too far, but he was low enough in the rankings that he wasn't in the top 5. And then suddenly he like shot forward. It was awesome.
It was real good. It was
very dramatic. Very fun.
It was one of those things that they're going to make movies about.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yep. That seems very, it'll be the next Cool Runnings.
Oh, yeah. Could we get John Candy?
No, we can't.
You can play me.
We can't get John Candy. He's been dead a long
time.
John
Candy would probably be better as you.
It's not the 80s anymore. Yeah, I think I'm a John Candy type. It's true.
Yeah. I would obviously be Robin Williams.
I was in the store and I'd recently been losing a lot of weight, and I often got compared, mostly because of my actions. Like, I'm a very physical guy. I'm a big guy, but I'm a very like kind of agile. I like to jump around a lot. When I'm on stage and stuff like that. And so I got compared to Chris Farley all the time.
Oh yeah. Same.
And then, I lost about 50 pounds, and then I started getting compared to Jack Black all the time. And you know what the difference is? About 50 pounds.
About 50 pounds.
The only difference, and I was very proud. Everyone kept calling me Jack Black, and I was like, thank you.
I am a shiny golden god.
Who we got up next?
Griot Mathuru said, so there's really only one thing to say about this episode. We need more Mac Daddy.
Yeah, nope. We do. Nope, that doesn't work.
Shut so, no.
Shut Dig okay. down real hard.
Yeah, he did. It was so good. Steve Abramowitz said, very disappointed. I think the budget ran out of money. Short Circuit was better. So many 80s miscues. Just goofy. And no Captain Marvel / Fury cameo. Boo.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't feel that way. I think that most of the ways that they didn't use much money, like the bad effects and the way they had like the shadow on the wall showing the Short Circuit like style robot rolling towards them or whatever, that to me was just 80s references. And I thought it was great. I did not find any of them to be miscues. I thought they were just like perfectly done 80s trash. This wasn't just like an 80s movie. This was like an 80s trash movie.
Yep.
I grew up on 80s trash. I am 80s trash.
Oh my dude, this was Bubba Ho-Tep.
Bubba Ho-Tep?
Yeah.
I mean it was in the style of like that sort of thing, but that's like a 2000 movie.
Was it?
Yeah. Bubba Ho-Tep's like not that old.
Am I just crazy?
I think so.
Oh, 2002. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I take it back.
Sorry, bud.
I take it back entirely.
But it is Sam Raimi, I believe. Isn't that right? Or no, it's not Sam Raimi, is it?
Does he
produce it or something? It. But no, it's not. It's not Sam Raimi at all. He might be. Maybe he produced it or something. That's what I'm thinking of. Or maybe I'm just thinking of.
It's just
Bruce Campbell. So I just assume everything he's in is produced by. Which is probably not too far off.
Sam Raimi is obviously attached to Bruce Campbell's there.
Yeah, Sam Raimi produces most of the things that he does. It's true.
So, I'm sorry, I take it back. Not Bubba Ho-Tep, but, you know, Bubba Ho-Tep was mimicking that style.
Yeah, Bubba Ho-Tep was doing the same thing this episode is doing.
So it was very purposefully, specifically, very 80s, I don't want to say ripoff, but definitely copying that 80s style, like all the blood spray and the goofy practical effects of, you know, bodies being torn apart and things being like the huge blood pool running out from in the hallway.
It's 80s schlock, man. That's all it is. It's so good.
It's very, very much on purpose.
Yeah. So I don't think any of this stuff was miscues. I think they were going for a very specific thing, and I thought they hit it out of the park. Especially doing that and still leaving Deke and Mac's characters pretty intact. That's a really hard balance to strike, and I think they did a wonderful job with it.
Agreed. Drew Greck says, hi, Matt and Jeff.
Hello, Drew Greck.
Hello. This was a great episode. I really loved all the 80s nostalgia stuff. It reminded me a lot of Stranger Things. This fun episode was a nice break from all the end of the world stuff from the first half season. I'm so excited for the final 6 episodes of the series. Thank you so much for the awesome podcast and keep up the great work. P.S. Can I join Deke Squad?
I mean, I won't stop you.
It looks like they need a drummer.
So how are your drum skills? You don't even have to be an agent, apparently, if you're a drummer. One thing we didn't talk about in our, you know, running this down in the beginning, what do you think they're going to do with Coulson next? They said, like, did they build me a new body? And they said, just wait, you'll have to wait and see. What do you think they're going to do for Coulson next? Like, we've had him in so many different forms.
What if he gets integrated with the ship?
Oh, we go late 80s and we get Knight Rider.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Oh, that's what I need. That's what I need so bad.
Yeah. I would be down with Knight Coulson, Rider.
Coulson's the new Jarvis.
I would be cool with that. I would be cool with that. Although Knight Rider was apparently 1982 as well, but it did go for a lot longer.
Man. Okay. So like I played with my cousins. I played Knight Rider. You know, when we were watching the series, I guess it was reruns. I don't know. But
yep,
yep,
you weren't born.
Yep, I was not. I did not yet exist in 1982. So I was always Kit and my dumbass was always on my hands and knees, like my cousin on my back, just like, let's go. And I'm like,
you were the mount.
Yep. Yep.
That's very funny.
Yep. I was quite young and it was real dumb, but I loved it. Knight Rider was my jam.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff.
Jeffrey James says, okay, not sure where the best place to comment on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'll do it here.
Right here. Right and where you did.
Yeah. This, you know, place is where we can see it. First, I'm wicked annoyed that you ignored my perfect solution to the Cap time travel problem. Apparently, it's an illustration of the Spinal Tap wisdom that it's a fine line between stupid and clever, but whatever.
Well, let me just say, I don't think we intentionally ignored your very clever solution. It may still be in our feedback that we haven't caught up on. So sorry. But we might have missed it. So here's the thing with feedback. Let me address that real quick. We have feedback coming from Facebook, like a few different places on Facebook, a few different places on Twitter, a few different places in the Discord and the Stranded Panda chat and our email. And so every week I go about collating all of that feedback. And so sometimes I miss something. So if I miss something, I apologize to everybody. And sometimes we just don't have
Reddit.
Oh, and we have a Reddit. Yeah, and I haven't checked it in a while because I'm not active. That's the thing. I'm not really that active on Discord or Reddit yet. And I'm trying to get better because people are trying to talk about the podcasts and stuff there in those places. And I'm just not good at that kind of those two social media platforms yet. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It's hard for me to keep up with one social media. And now I've got to like stare at TikTok at least 3 hours a day. So...
Did you see the video that has cropped up recently, or the thing, whatever, the TikTok fad? I don't know.
I probably have. If that's
what it has cropped up recently of answering the cat.
No, I guess I haven't.
Oh man, it's so funny. I saw this just like hilarious compilation of people, like people would pick up a cat, put it to their head and be like, hello.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. And then put the cat down and be like, the queen is coming.
That's silly.
They were obviously lip syncing to some sort of something, but I don't know what it was.
It's really interesting. Like, depending on what you like on TikTok, things that you would like on TikTok start showing up for you. And like, it's really weird what some people see and some people don't see. And
I saw this on Facebook.
And China knows has all our data now.
Yep.
They have somebody was like, you realize they're just like building a psychological profile on you. And I'm like, yeah, probably. But that's okay.
Yeah, but who hasn't really?
Like that's what all these social media platforms are doing is building a psychological profile on me.
I really wish they would just share.
Yeah. Just share so you can serve me better.
Save a lot of work for everybody involved.
I will say, as much as I know TikTok is problematic with all the data problems, like it is a really fun social media platform. Just like it's when I just really want to veg out for 20 minutes and just like stare at something fun and funny. Like there's nothing like it. Like just swipe up, swipe up, swipe up. Funny thing, funny thing. Cool dance, funny thing. Cool special effect, funny thing. It's good stuff, guys.
It's like Vine. It's the new Vine.
It is the new Vine. I mean, very literally, it is the new Vine.
Yep.
Very direct line between those two things.
Yep. Jeffrey James continues on his feedback with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, Episode 7, non-spoiler, about a dozen Kung Fury callbacks. Funny, but why?
I don't know Kung Fury well enough to know what references there were to Kung Fury.
I think it's Kung Fury more references 80s pop culture action movies.
Right.
So I think it was just that it was kind of in parallel to Kung Fury.
Similar to how you thought it seemed like Bubba Hotep, because it was similar to Bubba Hotep, but it's just because they're drawing from the same well of inspiration.
Right. He also says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, Episode 7, spoiler. Okay, I get that it was necessary to show the passage of time and Mac's depression, but while I know depressed people do strange things, I don't think that wearing a false beard was perhaps the best choice in terms of creating emotional feeling. Also, pretending to cut it rather than just unhook the ears was perhaps a bit surreal, even for this episode. Just my opinion. General comment. Important! Please immediately rename Matt's band to The Deke Squad.
if only that would definitely be in the running for a new name for the band. I'll let you know when I come up with a new band.
Oh my God. Matt, I've got it. Okay, when they go to the 90s, because it's inevitable. When they go to the 90s, they're going to rename the band to the Mighty Deeks.
No. The Mighty Mighty Deeks. Oh. The Mighty Mighty Deek Tones.
No. The Mighty Mighty Deeks was great. It was just enough of a Boston's reference. And also still kind of Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. The Mighty Mighty Deeks.
Yep. That's it. That's a good spot. That's like, I feel like what just happened is where they were like, Deadpool. Yeah. Captain Deadpool. No, just Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. 084 says, please read this as either Bill or Ted from, well, you know.
From, well, you know.
All right. Okay.
I dig it.
It's only an extremely long email.
It is an extremely long email, but it's Bill and Ted. Who doesn't want to hear that voice for a minute and a half? Yep.
I feel like that was facetious, but
maybe.
I'm going to ignore it.
You'll never know. Dude,
this episode was completely ridiculous. From the bad fake beard to the bad cover band to the bad 80s versions of Chronicoms. And I loved every second of it. There was a totally surprising mix of comedy and drama, almost Taika Waititi-esque. Esquire?
Taika Waititi-esquire. So stupid. And a visual text joke that we're, you know, I don't know how it's coming across. Anyway, continue, Bill.
Bill Theodore Logan.
Oh, yeah. It's Ted Theodore Logan, right?
Yeah, it's Ted Theodore Logan and Bill S. Preston Esquire. I can't be the only one getting choked up at the scene with Mac and Deke in front of Uncle Marcus's house. Not to mention Mac getting his bro Thor on in the first part of the episode. Very hard to believe this was written and shot before Endgame. And Coulson dealing relatively well with being trapped in 80s tech was the chef's kiss of the whole thing. Some things I'm trying hard not to think about too much. Resume Jeff voice, if you'd like.
I like the stage directions. That's good.
Yeah, I just went with the air guitar instead of saying insert air guitar here. Because oh, yeah, no, I was, knew it had good. To happen.
I should have joined you in harmony.
Oh, yes. You can do it in post.
Yeah, I will. That way you'll sound less alone, I promise.
All right. Cool. Good. Thanks. Where is the actual S.H.I.E.L.D.? Headcanons. Either Insides failure bankrupted / exposed them, and they're disbanded like what happens in the future, or Deke just wasn't able to reach out to them without being laughed at. Maybe Stoner has gotten a Winter Soldier visit by now.
Hmm. Well, I would say that they're, this is like a version of Future Shield. Maybe they're trying not to get in the way of the timeline of whatever actually is going on at Shield. Although it is strange to not know what's going on with Shield, because this facility was supposed to be shut down by the time they got there in the 70s. So it's not surprising that this facility is shut down now. So I guess they just never went to find regular Shield, which I guess that makes sense from Deke's perspective. If it was Mac making those decisions, he might have gone for it. But like, I think Deke being like just making his own thing makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean it's what Deke knows. You know, he we say that Deke is a guy who like steals IP and you know runs with technology that he's seen before or songs that he's seen before, but like he latches onto what he knows and then just replicates that over and over again. And that's where his comfort zone is. So I think that's I don't think that that's a flaw necessarily. I think that that's a feature of his character. As far as where actual Shield is, I couldn't tell you. I was kind of wondering the same thing.
Yeah, me too.
At one point, but I was like, this is too much fun to really care. So, like, it's been, what, 6 years since the launch or the attempted launch of Insight?
It's the classic, like, the time traveler has to deal with the other time travelers while everyone else is dealing with whatever else is going on. Like, in Back to the Future 2, Marty has to go back and, like, deal with old Biff and stop him while the other Marty is still trying to make sure his parents have sex.
Yeah.
You know, like he doesn't, yeah. Young Marty doesn't go, or like new Marty, future Marty doesn't go enlist the help of the other Marty. You know what I'm saying? you got me. Let's move
on. No.
Marty is Shield. Come on. It's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, totally. all right. Should I continue? I should not continue the voice.
No. He said switch back to Jeff. Go for it.
I know. He said if you'd like.
Oh, okay. And it was a very good, Bill S. Preston. I liked it.
Thank you. why the quick pick stop in 1982? Headcanon. Fitz is controlling the Zephyr's time jumps based on any Chronicom activity in time, and all of the waves being made are tripping him up a little. He sent the team to 1982 when Sybil was turned on by the computer repair guy. Then when he realized she wouldn't be functional for another 20 months, he sent them to 1983. I like that.
I like that too. I think we'll get an answer because they did ask that question on screen this episode. They were like, why did we get stopped for a second in 1982? Like, what's going on? And so I think that won't just drop. I think we're going to find out what's going on with the time. Like, the time travel, even the fact that they're still moving through time is a question, because from what we understood, they were moving through time on the wake of the waves. They were following the other ship, right? That's what they said in a previous episode, but that doesn't seem to be the case because that ship was destroyed and now they're just jumping. So it's possible that, like, a la Quantum Leap, they're gonna keep jumping, and maybe they hope the next one will be their one home, you know.
Wasn't that also Sliders?
Yeah, I think I'm actually quoting Sliders. Damn it. No. Yeah, that, I'm quoting Quantum Leap. I wonder if they both have that in the intro, because I think that is from Quantum Leap. Hoping my next one will be the one home. Or does it, no, it's some lady talking. Dr. Samuel Beckett, hoping his next one will be the leap home.
The wee leap home.
Yeah, sorry. I went kind of Irish and then I said wee.
Yep.
Anyway.
The next question that 084 has is, what was the point of Cricket? Headcanon, in a timeline without Chronicoms, Cricket eventually becomes Rusty, aka the best helicopter pilot that Lance Hunter's money can buy.
Okay, who's Lance Hunter?
Oh man, you don't remember Lance Hunter?
Wait, no, I don't know if I do, off the top of my head.
Bobby Morse's beau?
Oh, sorry, his first name was Lance?
Yeah.
I remember him being Hunter. Sorry. I guess my brain froze on that one. Okay. Sure. He becomes the best helicopter pilot that Lance Hunter's money can buy. Okay. That I feel like there's not much headcanon needed here, but I'm happy, you know, that's fun. I feel like he is purely comedy relief. He is a townie that does not matter that his life was removed from the timeline.
Yeah. I mean, the point of Cricket was that they needed a drummer. Mm-hmm. He said that.
And it was so that they can make lots of cocaine jokes.
No, man, he was selling coke. What, the soda? Come on, Mac. He says, those couple of questions aside, this was definitely the most fun episode of the season. I'm sure all the silliness is there to compensate for what's sure to be a dark and plot-heavy back half. I can't wait until next time.
I hope they continue with this tone they've been striking, where they have like some serious stuff going on, but then they continue to have these episodes. This kind of episode does feel like a victory lap to me. Like, it's just everything we might want from like a silly episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. while... you know, with just craziness. I like it a lot.
Honestly, I feel like this whole season has been a victory lap.
Oh, for sure. For sure. This one just felt a little more indulgent, I guess, than the rest of them.
That's fair. That's fair. It was real rich.
The other ones at least felt like they were trying to move the plot forward. This one just felt like, let's just have a good time for 42 minutes. And I'm here for it.
Oh, man. All right. Lauren Holdridge says, hey, guys, it's Lauren again.
Hey, Lauren.
I just wanted to say that it's absolutely insane that a couple weeks ago, the three of us together basically predicted this entire episode. I said it was going to be a buddy episode with Mac and Deke in the 80s, and you guys added to that saying that Deke could become a famous singer, and we were right.
Oh, man.
Team high five, everyone. I think the Deke squad would be proud.
I don't remember us doing that. That's awesome. It's not just things from the episodes of TV I forget, guys. I forget, you know.
Words that I said.
Yeah, words I say.
Once it's come out of my mouth, it's there's no point in me remembering it. It's for everyone else.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Those words are for you guys. I'm not meant to know them. I'm like the Simmons.
This wasn't for me.
I've got that little device in my neck that makes me forget all the things. But but you guys are the fits out in the future listening to the podcast of the time stream.
Oh my God, stop.
Okay. What else does Lauren have to say?
Also, the trailer for next week shows May and Yo-Yo going to After...
Should we watch it? Should we watch it first? What a
spoiler, Lauren! How dare you?
Spoiling it. No, it's okay. I should have read that and warned us. But how could I without being spoiled? So we're going to... Let's do that now, and then we'll...
Let's do that right now, and we'll come back to Lauren.
Yeah, we're going to watch the next week's trailer for next week. So if you don't want to know anything about the trailer for next week, go away. No, we love you very much, and we'll be back actually like almost right after this episode. I'm going to have to drop an episode, another episode. So we'll be back now, basically. Oh, man, victory lap continues. It looks like we're visiting Afterlife and Jia Ying.
I saw Gordon.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Actually missed Gordon.
Yeah, they had a teleporting bubble that happened.
I thought it was the time drive.
They had that one, and they also had one with everybody standing around. In the middle of it was Gordon and somebody else.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're gonna take her to Afterlife to try to figure out... Oh, yeah, that is Gordon. Man, this is great, man. This is getting back to like season two stuff, and it just makes me hopeful for all the stuff we're going to see in these last few episodes. Do you think we'll get... the girl in the flower dress.
Are you talking about Raina?
Yeah, Raina. You think we'll get Raina back?
Girl in the flower dress. Probably not.
Yeah. She's off doing a lot of other things, but like she was in an Oscar winning movie, and then she's been on Preacher for a few seasons. But I would love for them to just like drop her into this one last time.
Ruth Negga, that's her name.
Yeah, that's it.
Just happened to know that for no particular reason. But no, I don't know that they're going to bring her back. She wasn't relevant to Inhumans until, like, at the time, current time.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think they'll bring her back for this episode. I just meant, like, in general. Like, they're making their way through the timeline, and I wonder how much they're going to... I wonder, man, I would love... we've talked a lot about them doing a background of Avengers 1 thing, but, like, I would love background of... season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, or whatever, like, some of the things they've gone through. We get, like, a real Back to the Future 2 feel where they're, like, actually going through and, like, interacting with themselves and fixing the timeline and stuff.
That would be really crazy.
I would enjoy that a lot.
There was somebody in this trailer that had powers that looked a whole lot like Lash. Huh. Remember Lash from season 3?
Yeah, yeah.
Like 20 seconds into the trailer.
You mean that, like, the spirally powers?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what Lash's powers looked like?
When he pulled the hive particulate, whatever, out of Daisy, that's what it looked like.
Huh, okay.
It did the swirling around and focusing on one point like that.
Now, Lash was Maze... boyfriend or something, right?
Yeah, her ex-husband.
Ex-husband, that's it. Man, that's such a long time ago. Yep. Man.
Season 3.
Yeah, I just love the idea that we're getting closer and closer to, like, current timeline Marvel stuff. And visiting Afterlife in the 80s, or, like, I'm guessing this is sometime in the 80s. Late 80s, probably.
Well, they didn't jump forward.
Oh, so this is just 83. As far as we know.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah, this is 83 because they, like, let's see, it was May and Yo-Yo, I think, that Simmons was saying, you guys have, like, 21 days or something like that until we jump again.
Oh, okay, that's right. And they split the team up or something?
Yeah.
And this must be what the other side of the team is doing, going to Afterlife or something, and they're going to meet up. It looks like a shorter girl has the glowing eyes and is doing that thing you said looked like Lash.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, well, that looks exciting. I'm excited to see Afterlife. I'm excited to see Xia Ying again and get a sense of her. I guess this would be before, or is this after... or did she not go through the problem with Whitehall? When did that happen?
I don't remember.
And if it happened after this, do you think that Daisy will stop it? Do you think Daisy will warn her?
Do you think that anybody's going to warn her?
Yeah, I think Daisy will warn her. Like, I am almost certain Daisy will warn her. As much as she's been, like, questioning whether, like, this is the biggest pain of her life. Like, if she can stop Xia Ying from being tortured, I think she would.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but that chain of events is what leads to her going through what she went through to be who she is.
Yeah, sure. But still, like, that's the question. I mean, I think that's a really interesting question they could ask, and I hope they fully explore that.
Like, yeah.
Do you give up who you are if it meant you could avoid a lot of the pain of your past? It's a hard question. It's a hard question for anybody. And I think the show could really explore that well here. It's cool.
Yeah. And I'm really uncomfortable with you asking me that just, like, outright like that.
Yeah, no, I was asking you, please answer.
No, what I'm going to do instead is bring up that you were saying, does this happen after or does it happen before? Is it after, before? And the name of next week's episode is After, comma, Before.
Hmm.
And I find it funny. That's, after, before.
That's really great. After, before. What else does Lauren have to say?
Lauren finishes with, also the trailer for next week shows May and Yo-Yo going to Afterlife and paying 80s Xia Ying a visit to get help for both of their problems with their superpowers. I have a theory that the next episode might take place at the same time as the events of 7X7, because I'm pretty sure May was displaying emotion in this one flirting with Coulson, shock at Deke's story, her sass about building Coulson's new body, etc., which could mean that Xia Ying's help was successful, and she's learning how to control her new empath powers. What do you think? Thanks for the great content as usual. P.S. Who was your favorite non-Deke member of the band?
Well, first off, what do you think of that? I thought the same thing when I saw May, that she seemed to be a little more emotional than she should have been, I guess.
I was too busy going, is this the usual suspects? Because she was, it was a thing where she's sitting interviewing Deke or debriefing Deke, and he's explaining the events, and
then it just
goes into it. And then it comes back and he's still sitting there explaining to her. She's like, no, that's bullshit. And he's like, no, I swear that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to it. So, you know, it's intercut with the interview.
Yeah. There's a number of things that do that.
Yeah, there's several that do that. But I was too busy. I was too caught up in like, is this like that? And then I got caught up in the flow of the band.
How much of Deke's story do we believe?
Yeah, right.
Who is Kaiser Sose? Who is Deke Shaw? Okay, no. So who is your favorite non-Deke member of the band? I mean, you don't have to say non-Deke. My favorite member of the band is the Russian lady.
The Russian lady, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Like, there's no other person that could be your favorite.
I actually really like the other lady in the band. I forget her name. But I just loved I just loved the 80s stereotypes of all the band members. I liked the Chang Gang. It was like just enough of a like sort of 80s silliness to it to have like the twins with the name the Chang Gang. I don't know, man. It's just good. And then like, the other character was like the classic 80s horror movie sort of vixen look about her, like with the really sort of pale skin, bright red lipstick, big hair. But then she like, I don't know, she didn't seem like completely not a person. You know what I mean? Like she seemed kind of legit, she was still a person. And I just, the balance they struck in this episode was so much fun.
I mean, she showed up and straight up Ripley'd that guy. Or that one robot.
Oh.
If you recall.
What did she do to it? I don't.
Like when she and Max showed up and basically saved everybody, she like stabbed it with she stabbed it with a mic stand.
Oh, nice.
But it felt like Dr. or not. Was it Doctor? Is Sigourney Weaver's character Ripley a doctor?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
Not that I recall. I think she's like a. Nah, I don't remember her profession. She might have been a doctor. She's just Ripley.
Yeah.
I really want to do a Binger's Assemble about all of the Alien Universe movies. Because there's a lot of them, and some of them are really great, and some of them are really bad. And it, like, I just want to like really enjoy the whole thing as it is. Including all the AVP stuff, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
No.
Okay.
You could probably get John to do that, my 4M co-host.
Oh, yeah?
He loves the Alien stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I loved it growing up, but I haven't seen it as an... I don't know. I think I watched... Last time I watched, like, I watched the first four back when that was all that existed. So I was, like, 17 or 18, and then I haven't seen them all since. But... I keep being told by people I need to check out like the new stuff, the Prometheus and whatever the other one's called.
Not Isolation. Shit, it was the prequel.
Wait, yeah, they're both prequels, Prometheus and then something else, but I don't even know what they're about, honestly. So I'm excited.
Prometheus was not great.
I heard that from some people, but other people that I trust said that it was really great. It's just kind of slow.
Which Covenant.
Alien Covenant. Yeah. Yeah. I need to get into all that. I need to sit back in a nice warm bath of Alien movies.
There'll be a bath. You'll get sprayed with something.
All right, guys. Well, that is our show for today. We're going to be back almost immediately after this one drops. We're going to try to drop this other episode. talking about kind of news and feedback stuff, non-Shield related stuff. Thanks for joining us today. Please check out our new show, Pandavision. We're still giving away a shirt for a lucky reviewer of that show. A bunch of you guys have already done it, and we really appreciate it. So please go over and review Pandavision and give it a listen. We're covering The Boys right now, and within the next week or two, we're going to be covering the new season of Umbrella Academy. So lots of cool stuff coming over on Pandavision and trivia on Wednesday night. We're just trying to make stuff and for all you guys to check out and try to build up the community, because honestly, that's been the coolest part, is everybody getting to interact and, you know, do that whole thing. It's been really fun. So we love you guys, 3000. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.